The meeting in order. The Board of Retirement welcomes you to its meetings, which are regularly held on the second Wednesday and the fourth Tuesday of each month. Your interest is encouraged and appreciated. These matters include routine administrative actions and are identified under the consent items heading. Public comment. Matters under the jurisdiction of the board may be addressed by the general public before or during the regular agenda. However, California law prohibits the board from taking action on any matter which is not on the posted agenda unless it is determined an emergency by the Board of Retirement. Any member of the public wishing to address the board during the public comment period shall be permitted to be heard once up to 3 minutes. Please complete a public comment form and give it to the chair of the board. Any person wishing to make a presentation to the board must submit the presentation in written form with copies furnished to all board members. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Board agendas and minutes. Board agendas, minutes, and copies of items to be considered by the Board of Retirement are customarily posted on the internet by Friday afternoon preceding a meeting at the following website, stansarah.org. Materials related to an item on this agenda submitted to the board after distribution of the agenda packet are available for public inspection at Stan Sarah, 832 12th Street, Suite 600, Modesto, California, 95354, during normal business hours. Audio. All Board of Retirement regular meetings are audio recorded. Audio recordings of the meeting are available after the meeting at stansarah.org, agenda, underscore schedule. Notice regarding non-English speakers. Board of Retirement meetings are conducted in English and translation to the other languages is not provided. Please make arrangements for an interpreter if necessary. Reasonable accommodations in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. If you need special assistance to participate in this meeting, please contact the board secretary at 525-6393. Notification 72 hours prior to the meeting will enable Stan Sarah to make reasonable arrangements to ensure accessibility to this meeting. I think I might request a recording and I just push a button. It all comes out. Anyways, the meeting is called to order. We're gonna move item number three up to number two.
I have a couple announcements. First of all, as you already can tell, Kelly's not here, so our first line of defense in terms of recording board minutes is gone, and our second line of defense in terms of recording board material is gone. Mary's out today as well. So Don will be filling in for both of them today. I also want to bring to your attention a correction to the minutes. Actually, Jigen brought it to our attention earlier this week that the people who are absent were not recorded correctly on the minutes, and also that Jigen had sat in for Gordon a couple weeks ago. So those have subsequently been corrected, and the minutes that are a part of the consent calendar that you'll be approving will reflect those corrected minutes. That's all I have for announcements.
So that just corrects it. Grover absent and Ford was absent but replaced.
Correct. It's all right now.
And then I was absent.
Correct.
As well.
And that's
can't recall.
So that needs to be corrected.
Okay. With that, roll call.
Gordon Ford.
Yes, Jagan Rajathar, Gordon Ford.
Darren Garrett.
Present.
Michael O'Neill.
Here.
Jim DeMartini. Donna Riley.
Here.
Jeff Grover. Maria DeAnda.
Here.
Jason Gordo.
Here.
And Mike Lynch.
Here.
Joan Clendenin.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? Okay, hearing none, move on to item five, consent items.
Move to approve consent.
Do we have a motion?
A second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
The only thing I'd like to add is about the correction to the minutes, including my absence. That's the only thing I want to add to the consent items. Other than that, nothing else.
So the approval of the consent items with corrections to the minutes. Okay, so any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Next, we have Executive Director.
All right, 6A is the monthly staff report. This is where I read out to you some of the things that staff has been working on over the last month since we last talked about it. Normal retirement age requirements and notification. In December, you folks agreed to come up with a definition for bona fide separations of from service and a normal retirement age. And just as a refresher, a normal retirement age is the age at which someone can retire and not have to worry about any Internal Revenue Service restrictions, unless there is, you can retire or you can come back if there's a bona fide separation from service. So you gave us the definition, you gave us the normal retirement age. And then we set out to put together information for our plan sponsors that explains the complicated process of when a member can come back to work after retirement. And we finally got to the realization that it was extremely difficult to relay this information in terms of a memo. And so what we did is we came up with this decision tree, and we've given it subsequently to all our plan sponsors. And it shows, kind of tells you when a member can come back to work after they retire based on certain decisions. So that took some time to do. We have also, we're continuing the process of working on our job task analyses. We are analyzing each position, each desk within the organization. We're trying to figure out what each position does, what we'd like them to do, and then once we get that information down, we can figure out how to make each position more efficient and work in tandem with one another. And then if we have any weak spots, we can address those at that time.
Is this updating existing material, or are you starting over?
In terms of a job task analysis?
Yeah.
We're pretty much we're actually starting with the job description that we have right now, but it's some of the job descriptions are 2 and 3 pages long, and a lot of the tasks that are under these job descriptions don't really correspond with what the position is doing right now. So while we are using that as a rough guide, we want to refine that and get it down to something that the position is actually doing. And then we can take that information across the entire organization and kind of bring things together and make things more efficient based on the knowledge of all the positions. We're also in the midst of developing risk reports that are going to pertain to the performance of our investment managers, but these are going to be much more risk-centric. And once we get these done, we'll start to present these probably on a quarterly basis. We have completed a couple of the reports already. One, it actually shows how risk is allocated across the entire portfolio. So we can show historically the trend of how each manager has contributed to the overall portfolio risk, and we can see how that changes over time. What we've seen preliminarily is that some managers during certain times are responsible for a greater portion of the portfolio risk, and that at other times they become quite smaller. So it tells an interesting story. Yes?
This may be a really dumb question, but is there a connection between that and the pension administrative software?
No. Okay.
That was a really dumb question.
That's all right. That's not a dumb question.
Clarifying scope.
Yeah.
That's all.
The other risk report that we just finished is that we can now take all the data historically, and we can do it intra-period for each year, and we can tell how closely our managers are adhering to their benchmark. So we can see how strongly, for instance, Dodge and Cox is investing our money as it relates to the mandate that we've given them, which their mandate is large cap value. And so it allocates the correlation across several benchmarks to each individual benchmark. So for instance, we just looked at Dodge & Cox this morning, and Dodge & Cox has about 75% of their returns can be explained by the Russell 1000 value, which is a good thing, and so forth. So we can also, through time, we can see if a manager is straying away from the mandated style that we have allocated to him. So those are two of the many reports that we're finishing up, and hopefully we'll get those done within a few months and start to report that information out to you on a quarterly basis.
Rick, what software package are you using for that?
We're doing it ourselves. We're downloading all the data, which is really nice, from Northern Trust. Northern Trust has a great repository for data. And so all we do each month when the data comes out, we just take their file, flat file, put it into our master data file, and then all the reports just grab information.
Can't you get that off Bloomberg?
What's that? Our?
Yeah,
I'd rather just grab
values?
It. I can, but I'd rather just grab it from Northern Trust. They're the first ones to get it.
So they give you the R values?
The R values?
I mean, they can regress it for you and
I do
give
all
you
that.
Correlation?
They can, but I do all that. And the reason I do all that is because it's much more flexible. I don't have to be a slave to their reports, and I can be much more creative with the data and how I display it.
We'll give you the correlation values to the different
Absolutely,
agencies.
Absolutely. But
I mean, it just seems like that's more work than
you it's have not a as, lot of It's not as much today. Work as you think it is.
Here's what it is. Rick really enjoys that. Donna, you and I would look for the quickest way to get the data. He likes to play with the data.
That's partly correct. Also, it is.
Actually, you'd be surprised. I've spent a great deal of time doing that sort of thing myself, too.
Also, I feel that it gives us more control over the process, and I really want to have control over the output that we're seeing. I mean, it's great to be able to grab stuff from Bloomberg, to grab stuff from SIS, to grab stuff from Northern Trust, but always in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, what's going into this data? Is it truly unbiased data? So just the fact that I can download the raw data myself and do with it what I want gives me a certain level of comfort that I don't have and I don't feel we've actually had over the past several years that I've been here working with our custodian and our investment consultant. So it's also
and more the consultant than the custodian.
Yes.
Comparing apples to apples.
All right. A couple other things, member statements. And Kathy, do you have anything to say about member statements?
We put semi-annually, we post interest to active member accounts. And whether we get to post interest or not is determined by how well the fund did the previous year. But we were able to post interest this year, and so member statements went out to about 5,000 non-retired people, and then 1099s went out a day later, and to about 3,500 retirees and other people that get them. So it's a pretty labor-intensive month for us, and we met all of our deadlines and then some, and we will start reprinting 1099s as needed on February 15th, because we need to wait for the mail to go out and come back in. So far, we haven't had too many returns. Our retirees are pretty good about staying on top of it. So, anyway, we got a lot done. I thank staff for all their hard work, a lot of paper folding, and envelope stuffing.
No question, and this is kind of because I've been thinking of it because it came up in another venue, is if, say, someone did lose or didn't receive their 1099, do we have the capability, or is there a means by which an individual can go in themselves to reprint that form
online? Not with our current software, we do not. And they can email us with a request, but we are careful to explain to them that we will send it to them by email, but it is not secure. We have no way to send them a secure picture.
The county did ours with PeopleSoft this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we don't. Most
and that's an internal, it's an internal database, so I don't know if the security parameters are different than going out into the you know.
I don't know that, Maria, but we do not have the ability at this point. That's one of the things we'd like to see happen in the future.
And as a segue,
self-serve on the 1099s.
We don't use PeopleSoft for retiree payrolls anymore. Because you can access PeopleSoft if you have an account and a password. If you're an active county employee, you can access it through the county website.
I'm just
curious, just for the retirees later on, as our millennials and stuff, I don't even qualify for that, huh? more tech savvy individuals retire, then they'll want to have access to it.
Absolutely. We're already getting those requests.
Sorry, Michael.
We're already getting those requests. Okay. People take their phones, their tablets, wherever they go, and they want to have access.
Absolutely.
We still fax things, believe it or not. We have a lot of fax.
Thank you.
Anyway, staff did a great job. Natalie did a great job getting the 1099s all balanced and got them out on time.
Okay, and then the other thing we're going to talk about here in our next agenda item, the audit RFP preparation. So that's all I have for the monthly staff report. This is item 6B, financial auditor request for proposal. This is an information item only, and Kathy Herman's going to update you on what's going on here.
We did a RFP about 6 years ago for the financial auditor, and MGO, that contract came with the ability to extend it for the 3 years, so we did. MGO has served us well. We don't have a problem with MGO, but it is talking about for the audit to do the comparison. And so that went out last Friday. It's posted on our website, and we contacted all the known people that are out there. We surveyed all the systems, who's everybody using, and we contact them and invite them to propose. So we're expecting them, the notice of intent to propose is due on February 20th. I've already had one come back to me. We're doing everything electronically. I'm not hard mailing anything out. Now their proposals will come in to me in hard copies, but there is no point in doing a lot of.
Do you also get them in soft copy?
Yes. Yes, we will get a soft copy, and we also will get a redacted copy. So if there's proprietary information that we can't put somewhere, that gives us a little more flexibility in what they send us. So we do have we make quite a few demands for these proposals from any of our vendors. And I mean, the custody bank binders were like that. They were so much fun to read.
You know, you're asking for this information to come back in the middle of tax season. It's not a good time to be talking to accountants about something besides taxes.
Actually, most of the proposers who do this sort of thing, I don't think that most of the proposers who do this sort of thing have a huge amount of individual tax consultancy.
They're not doing 1040 work.
Well, yeah, no.
Yeah. And if they are, it's a totally different arm of their organization.
The audit group would be different.
Yeah. There's actually not that many of them. Most of the 37 acts tend to use one or the other. So it'll be interesting to see what proposals we get. And of course, we're open to whatever we find. You know, hopefully get a good one. So that's going forward. We expect that to be done. There is a meeting on April 8th, and it'd be nice if we can hit that meeting and bring somebody to the board and get a decision, but we realize that's up to the board, and that might get pushed off depending on schedules and timing and stuff like that. So it is going forward, and it is on the website.
Have you got an idea about what this is likely to cost?
I don't expect it to be a lot more than we paid last year, and honestly, I don't have that number in my head right now, Joan. I'm sorry, because we use these people every year, and the rates tend to just stay similar across the board. I'm sorry, I don't have that number in my head. You know about how much we paid the financial auditors last year? I want to say about 30,000, but I might be totally wrong. Somewhere around 30. There's a few extra requirements now because of the GASB rules, so we had to make sure to get all of that in the RFP for this next year.
Can you tell them about Jeff Grover?
Oh, Jeff has volunteered. Typically, somebody from the IGC sits on the evaluation team, and Jeff has volunteered to do that. I don't know if anybody else. He also suggested that I put it out to the board to see if anybody else would be interested in sitting on the evaluation team for the financial audit.
When are we going to do this?
In March. Evaluation
March
23rd and 27th, yes. Between March 23rd and 27th.
We thought of you, but you're going to be gone.
I'm not going to be.
Right.
So if anybody else has any interest in helping out with this, and or if
I'm kudos happy. To Jeff.
D. Martini's not here.
Should we nominate
him? D. Martini said to volunteer you.
why.
He did say ask for volunteers if anybody else would be interested in helping out.
Gordon would be a good one.
This is great.
We can volunteer Gordon, right?
I'll ask him.
Okay, that's okay. Please do. Please do ask him.
Actually, he might be useful.
He would probably be excellent.
Absolutely, no, I'm serious about that, so please do ask. Thank you, Jagan. Or if you are interested in sitting on.
I'll request his permission if I wanted to.
It's a big job, and usually several staff members work on it, and but it's good to have a board member as well, or two.
All right. Item 6C, Information Technology Plan and Pension Administration Software. This is a discussion and action item, and staff's recommendation for the board today is going to be to direct staff to seek a qualified firm to develop a 5-year comprehensive strategic information technology plan that includes a high-level blueprint for implementation, budget, and support of technology over the next 5 years. So what we're asking you is to give us the green light to go ahead and bring some consultants in here. These are not the people that are going to be programming and doing the pension software, but somebody to manage the project. That's what this item is all about. And I will turn this over to Ms. Herman again.
All righty. Okay, so about 12 years ago, StanSara purchased pension software. It might seem like we worked on it forever, but we really did purchase it about 12 years ago. As you know, the vendor has announced they are no longer going to offer the software and are strictly in maintenance mode only. And so they will maintain us for as we go forward, but we can't get any upgrades. We will never get 1099s accessed online with our current system or any of the other pieces we need. Last October, staff presented a 10-year reorganization plan that included a summary of current and future IT needs. As directed at that time by the board, we're moving forward with finding some software solutions. After talking with and surveying several other systems, we have a good idea of what we need. We have pension software on the list, and I've given it to you on the agenda here. My intent is every time we talk about this, we'll list everything so that we keep it in front of this board or future board members, this whole extent of this project. Electronic document management system, get us out of paper files eventually. Disaster recovery, reporting system for the pension software. Case management workflow, as we grow, we're gonna need that. Website redesign, the ADA requirements are pretty extensive. Our website does not include the ADA requirements.
So what do you mean by the ADA requirements?
Things have to be readable. I actually personally got a bill from AT&T today. I didn't have to read it. It was a video and an audio presentation so I could understand my bill without having to be able to see it.
All of your papers have to be labeled. So it says woman looking at picture, I mean at paper, so that it describes each of the pictures so that when a person is listening to it, they get the full sense of everything that's being done on the website so that they can choose what they're looking for.
We use PDF exclusively on our website, not all PDFs.
I'm sorry, you use what?
We use PDF files exclusively on our website for upgrading. Previous website, we couldn't put Microsoft documents on it, so we went to PDF. Unfortunately, a lot of those don't do what we need them to. So there's lots of bits and pieces that are going to require website redesign regardless. We're going into it. It's going to happen. And then a member portal, like you said, for 1099, member statements, other member services. People like to be able to get to their stuff. And the intent is to hopefully quit putting out all this paper at some point. So that list, it's a pretty big list. What we don't know is how to get it all done or how much it's going to cost.
And by one firm will do all this?
I have no idea. At this point, we don't know, and that's one of the big questions.
And it seemed like, you know, based on the attachments and stuff, conversations with other retirement organizations, 34 counties.
Quite a few of them have used a firm, a couple of firms. To implement everything we've identified in that 10-year plan we gave you in October, we truly believe we're looking at a 5 to 6 year project. and that's if everything goes exactly right. Once all the requirements are done and the RFP is created, we're looking at approximately 30 months just for the pension software piece of it, maybe longer. A huge mistake often made by organizations is not getting all the requirements identified and included in the RFP. Mm-hmm. So a great deal of work gets done prior to ever putting out the RFP.
You don't want to do this again.
I don't want to do this backwards this time. Yes, no, I don't. The news is littered with public agencies with failed software implementations. I mean, we need to try to learn from previous implementations. This is a very large, I want to say huge, long-term, multifaceted plan that will require consistent resources. That means no one gets to retire, no one gets to get sick, no vacations, no babies are born.
Jury duty?
No jury duty for at least 6 years, right? You know, that's not likely to happen, exactly. But we do know, what we do know works is hiring a firm, not a person, a firm that can take a project like this from start to finish, work with the vendors, work with the system, and make these things happen. And it's going to take more than one person to do that. As you can see from the survey, there's only a few firms that do this, at least in California, are serving our systems. And I would like to invite them to give us a proposal to do this for Stan Sara. We've never used an outside firm for a project like this before. There are more than one ways to do it, but this is huge and it's a lot of money, so I think it's really important to look at an outside expert to get there. Stan Sara does not have the depth or the expertise in-house to ensure consistent long-term resources. We have some pretty intelligent people, but nobody on staff has brought in a 5 to 6 year project with multiple software solutions. And I don't know if one person would be able to accomplish it anyway. I know we'd need extra staff for testing and various other pieces. Some systems have used experts for bits and pieces, like just for the RFP part or just for the testing part. The ones that seem to be most successful have put a strategic plan together and hired a firm to take them from start to finish. Three that I know of are Fresno, Ventura, and
Imperial.
No, not even Imperial.
They were on the email.
Fresno, Ventura, and Marin are all working with one group. We're in better shape than most systems because we still have some people on staff that brought in our current pension software. We know we had to clean up our data, so we're cleaning up our data now. Ventura had pretty much put everything on hold for a while, go back and clean up their data, extended the length of their project. No consultant can fix your data. You have to know what you've got. We've been down this road, so we know this. So that will help us. But like I said, we want to learn from the last implementation. We don't want to do it exactly the same way again. This one's bigger.
And you're just asking from us today the authority to go get proposals from two or three consultants, bring those consultant proposals back and say, now we know what it's going to cost, the timeline, mm-hmm. and the resources necessary internally to get this plan implemented.
Correct.
Yeah, this because is not any type of financial commitment.
Well, I move that we accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Do I hear any comments?
We don't know at this point what the cost is going to be.
No, we don't. The consultant for Fresno is $3 million for the whole project. And they've been working with Fresno now since 2008. They've implemented several bits of the software, and they're finishing up the pension piece now.
So this isn't in our current budget. This is something we're going to have to budget for once we identify.
Will.
We'll budget for it in the next.
Correct.
Well, that's what we want to do is get somebody in to help us figure out what a reasonable budget is, how long that it will take us, so we can start setting aside funds so we don't hit it all in one budget year.
Right. And that $3 million, roughly, and they've been working with them since
7 years.
7 years.
So, yeah. So that, I mean, do they recontract to this person every year, or do we have a blanket contract?
That is their contract. That is their contract.
We're going to pay you $3 million to help bring this people.
You know, I'm just throwing out that number because I've done some research. And so I didn't want you to be surprised when you saw those numbers come in.
No, I'm not worried about the number. I just want to make sure the number's static, that the number doesn't, it's $3 million for 3 years and then 2 more years, another $2 million or whatever.
It would depend on whatever contract we, you know, wrote with them, what they proposed and what contract we came up with.
And to kind of put it in perspective, when we went in-house and basically managed the project ourselves, with the number, with the amount of change requests that we made, we pretty much went bypassed that, you know.
Exactly.
So it, in the long run, you have to look at the possible savings by paying the money a known number up front instead of getting surprised along the way.
Oh yeah, that's so, what I'm that's what I'm trying to define.
Well, before we came in here, Kathy and I discussed this. What you don't see. She was able to tell me what the explicit costs were to implement the last pension system, but what you don't see and what she couldn't tell me are what were the implicit costs. What were the costs that we had to bear to pull staff off regular work right and to put them on this stuff. That stuff that was hard to put a price tag on. And so when we do discuss whether the costs and benefits of bringing a consultant in are worth it, we need to really consider the implicit costs as well. And this is stuff that we can talk to the consultants when they sit in front of us in a couple months.
Yeah, this is just to get to a point where we have knowledge.
Correct.
Yeah. That's correct. All it is.
Yes. Call the question.
Yeah.
And
yes, sir. Okay. So, any further discussion?
So, this consulting firm does not have any right to recommend any vendor, right?
No, they will not recommend
anything. Vendor. Okay.
No, they will not. If we hired them to do so, they would help us go through the RFP process, in which case they would help us quantify the best vendor for us, but that would be part of their mandate.
My only comment is to make sure that we have a robust enough program that we won't have to start necessarily from scratch.
Exactly.
In the future.
Problem right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't. And one thing I mentioned the 12 years ago, whether even if our software vendor had not made this decision, we would be looking at a fairly hefty upgrade in the not too distant future anyway, because their business model would have had to have something should have happened by now. And as with PeopleSoft or anything else, the county every couple of years does another major upgrade, and that's pretty much the standard way this type of software is handled.
Thank you, Kathy. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Go forth and conquer.
All right.
Okay, and I am advised that we have nothing for a closed session. So we'll go do members forum.
Nothing for me?
Nothing for me.
Nothing for me.
I told Mike that I was going to take this opportunity to bring up a number of issues, but since I know he wants to get out of here, I'll pass.
None.
Don. Pass me.
I have one. Somebody has already turned in their 700 forms, so he wins. But the rest of you need to get your 700 forms turned in to Kelly.
Who's the winner?
I'm not telling you.
She pointed in that direction, so I
would.
I
thought
you guys have
money
for
you,
I don't know.
I sent in her office like.
I'm sure Kelly.
On the 700, is there
lost in transmission?
Like a portal where we can just update last year's?
I don't know that, but you, Kelly,
you're not supposed to.
No.
I was told that a while ago. You're not supposed to just update last year's.
Good try.
But
I've actually done the long form part of it. It just hasn't been put on
just
form.
Yeah. At least you can at least save the PDF. I mean, nowadays.
And there's a card that's being passed around. It's a card that's going to go to West Hall.
Pardon?
There's a card that we're passing around that's going to go to West Hall. Condolences for the passing of his wife, mm-hmm. Maureen. So please take a minute and sign it. And that's all.
Okay. Nothing. So with that, we are adjourned.